The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin, and our guest this morning on The Breakfast Grill is Roberto Benatello, CEO of the European Union Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sharad. Thank you very much for having me.
I want to begin with the mission statement of the EU-MCCI. In the first line, it says, to develop and enhance the European Union's position and image in Malaysia. And I imagine it also notes that high-profile lobbying and dialogue with institutions and government. But, you know, there's also the question of the public. And in many ways, Malaysians have been reading about the European Union and Europe in general through the lens of political headlines. We've had the Brexit issue. We've had the rise of populism, anti-globalizing populism, anti-EU populism in Britain, in Europe, the refugee crisis that we've had over the years. So, and such. Perhaps we could begin with that backdrop to the groups and organizations that you represent, which are essentially businesses. Yeah. So before we get to that, could you give us a sense of that context and the brand? Has the European Union's brand been damaged by all this noise from Brexit to the rise of right-wing populist movements in Europe?
Okay. Let me first begin by saying that EUMCCI is platform. We try to engage, we try to do business facilitation. So we help European companies setting up in Malaysia, and we help companies already set up in Malaysia to do business well. So you said lobbying. I would say advocacy, which has got much more of a positive connotation. But we try to engage with government officials, politicians, and we try to bring to them the issues, the hot issues, the relevant issues of the European business community as a whole. So we gather the issues of the 28 member states. There are 28 member states in the European Union, and we try to convey important messages to government and stakeholders in Malaysia. Again, the main objective is to create a good business environment for business to thrive in Malaysia. And business is thriving in Malaysia because, you know, the sentiment from European investors is that Southeast Asia is the place to be, and they want to do business in Southeast Asia. If you want, later on, I can comment on a recent survey that we did together with the EU Asian Business Council that is an organization that we belong to. So we surveyed a number of executives, a number of companies in ASEAN, and the sentiment is good. You know, Europeans want to do business in ASEAN.
But what about the reverse? I mean, are you also interested in businesses here and people with money, institutions to be invested in European businesses, in manufacturing, in buying properties there? Is it just a one-way street, or is this a two-way street in terms of the remit of the EU MCCI?
Well, our remit, as I said, is basically twofold. We help companies, we help the countries, the European countries, with a low representation in Malaysia. You must know that of the 28 member states, okay, countries of the like of Germany, for example, UK, Holland, they have quite a well-organized Chamber of Commerce here, so they're pretty good in supporting their companies. But there are other minor states, minor European states that need support, so we tend to focus on them. But the main issue, the main thing that we do is provide this advocacy platform. So we try to be the voice of the European business community to European policymakers and stakeholders. Our primary concern is to create a favorable business environment, or try to facilitate a favorable business environment in Malaysia for European companies. Okay, this is our main remit.
Okay, so there possibly from the Malaysian side, or the Southeast Asian side, the regional side for Southeast Asia, some challenges in terms of branding. We've had issues like, you know, ethnic cleansing in Myanmar. We had the rise of militant organizations. We've had that Marawi city siege in the Philippines. All that might be damaging, at least on a broader, you know, public sense. But I want to take that European side. My first question to you, which is, the European Union's image in Malaysia damaged by the talk of Brexit, the lack of at least a loss of faith in the European Union as a mechanism, as a way of organizing political and economic life. You know, is the rise of populism in Europe again? Those headlines, does it damage the image of the European Union and those who represent it in all its forms?
For certain, the European Union is facing some issues. Okay, some image issues and. There are some problems that the European Union is facing. A big one is the immigration, for example, and this and some other things may be the cause of some populism. Okay, you see, for example, what's happening in Spain, in Catalonia. We had I'm Italian, and we had last weekend a referendum in two regions of Italy, in Lombardia and in the Veneto region, so in the north, the center-north and northeast of Italy, because some of these people want to be independent. So you have this kind of issues, and I don't think people are completely happy. The economic crisis coupled with the situation of immigrants, for example, have caused a lot of people to be unhappy, and this is a fertile situation for populistic sentiment to rise and express itself.
Does that affect businessmen, though? I mean, one thinks of businessmen as being notoriously amoral. They're just concerned primarily with the predictability of any kind of situation. You know, political volatility is only bad because it is unpredictable. So when you're advising or framing the news that's coming out of Europe for your Malaysian interlocutors, whether they're government or they're private sector, what are you saying to them about these headlines that they're reading?
As I said to you before, our primary concern is to advise investors or advise European companies that want to invest in Malaysia and ASEAN. So what we need to be able to do is to paint a picture of Malaysia and to reassure or provide enough information to investors who want to come to this part of the world and put money in developing their business and developing their economy. So this is what we do. If you ask me personally, yes, in Europe there are challenges. Some of these challenges may affect somehow the business in Europe, but it's not for me to say to what extent and how serious the problem is at the moment.
Yeah, so let me give us some numbers on the trade between the region of the European Union and Malaysia. The EU is Malaysia's third largest trading partner.
Absolutely.
And Malaysia is the EU's 22nd largest trading partner. In 2016, trade with the EU rose some 0.4% to around 149.1 billion ringgit. And over the past 3 years, since 2014, trade performance recorded a positive trade balance in Malaysia's favour of 1.7 billion ringgit and going up to 10.6 billion ringgit since 2014. Yeah. Is that a good picture? Is that a healthy picture? And are we looking at going from a reasonably high base to improving the situation? Or is it something that you look at and say, well, you know, it could be so much better if we could deal with some of the challenges?
Well, I think the recent trip to Europe of the MITI minister, Minister Mustafa Mohammed, testifies that Europe is a very interesting trading partner for Malaysia, and especially some countries such as Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium. They represent a very, very high potential, and the minister has made that very clear. There are some sectors, for example, that are going to be key for Malaysia, and the relationship with these countries is going to be key because can actually produce a lot of benefits. I'm referring, for example, to the electric and electronics sector for the automotive and automation parts, for example, logistics, palm oil and oleochemicals, and Industry 4.0. There is a very precise strategy from Malaysia to invest in Industry 4.0 and everything that revolves around Industry 4.0. It's a massive undertaking. Malaysia really wants to be there.
Now, the issues of the demographic challenges for Europe are very interesting for us as we look there, because it's an aging population, and in some respects, you know, the refugee and immigrant issue is the flip side of that demographic challenge. Do you see Europe as a dynamic economic region that Malaysia and people here should be looking at, or should Malaysia really just pivot towards China, pivot towards the developing world, where you really will see much more growth?
Well, okay. I agree with the fact that in Europe right now, you see less dynamism, as you said, compared to Asia or Southeast Asia. And this is, for example, why I personally liked to be here, because what you see here is a continuous movement, and there is space for mistakes. For example, you know, you can engage in different projects. I'm talking about entrepreneurs, for example. They can actually start different things, and if one doesn't work, the other will work. In Europe right now, the situation is a little bit slower. The business is more difficult. Some of the southern European countries are badly affected by crisis in terms of economy, but in terms of unemployment, for example. So the room for maneuver in Europe in terms of entrepreneurship, you know, setting up new businesses and growing the economy is somehow more limited. That's a fact. But your second part of the question is that interesting for Malaysia? I think it should be looked at from a different point of view. What is there in Europe that could be of interest for Malaysia? Well, there are some important technologies that can enable Malaysian growth. Okay, this is what Malaysia should look into in Europe. You know, there are some small, medium enterprises in Europe that are absolutely fabulous. They have some technology that could greatly help Malaysia. So what we need to focus on are win-win strategies so that Malaysia economic growth opportunities can be coupled with opportunities in Europe so that everybody wins.
I'm speaking to Roberto Benatello, CEO of the European Union Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Next up, we talk about the question of growth. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us, our guest on the Breakfast Grill is Roberto Benatello, CEO of the European Union Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I'm sure. Let's continue that discussion. Yes. You were talking about a win-win strategy. You mentioned earlier also palm oil. Now, in April this year, the European Parliament passed a resolution to phase out by 2020 the use of vegetable oils in biodiesel that are produced in an unsustainable way, leading to deforestation. Now, I think generally, you know, the public is concerned about environmental sustainability, and you'd have Malaysians being on the European side on this. But to what extent are these also forms of trade barriers for developing countries like Malaysia? How does the business community here view news like this?
All right. Well, thank you very much for asking me this question. I think it gives me the opportunity to talk about sustainability and sustainability values. I mean, we are very committed as European Union, but also as a UMCCI to sustainability values. And this is why we've just embarked on a project called Europa Awards for Sustainability. So it's so some sort of business award that, awards business excellence in the field of sustainability. With regards to palm oil, yes, there is a big push from European countries to get sustainable palm oil. You mentioned palm oil in biofuel. You mentioned the EU resolution. I think it's an issue that needs to be looked at, and this is why, as UMCCI, we are heavily committed in creating opportunities for dialogue. We believe that there is a need, especially now, to create this dialogue opportunity so that information in the palm oil industry is shared in a more balanced way. If you look at the reaction of some companies in Europe and some You mentioned the European resolution, for example, and if you look at the facts and figures about palm oil, there may be a disconnect. So we are here to help clarify in the situation.
The people that you speak to, your local partners in dialogue, do they see this as unfair trade practices, a way of sneaking through trade barriers to protect other vested interests, to the detriment of developing countries and economies like Malaysia? Is that still that? Because I remember, two decades ago, that would have been the position that would have rankled with a lot of people in the developing world, that somehow the West was using the discourse of, sustainability basically to protect vested interests.
Let's say that the vegetable oil market is a huge business, okay? And if you look at the numbers, 35% of vegetable oils in the market is palm oil, global, global consumption. And Malaysia and Indonesia produce 85% of that vegetable oil. So it's a very lucrative and very interesting market. So I don't have a precise answer to your question, but certainly it's a market that interests many players. Okay, having said that, where is the truth? The truth is always in the middle. Okay, on one side, Malaysia is doing really a lot to improve on sustainability. Recently, MPOC and the government of Malaysia have announced to support small growers, okay, and that is a very important issue. One thing that, if you allow me to raise as a point, the production of palm oil, 60% of the production of palm oil is certified or somehow can be traced, okay? Because it comes from big plantation companies, the big guys. 40% of the production, okay, comes from small growers. But these small growers are a huge number. We're talking about 650,000, if I'm not mistaken. It's a number that I recently got at our symposium that we organized on palm oil sustainability. So it's a challenge. It's an issue. It's something that needs to be worked on to get this huge number of small growers to comply to certain standards. So your question implies that there is some sort of strategy behind what's happening in Europe to try and boycott. On the other side, I wouldn't want to comment on that because I'm not, I cannot comment on that. But more effort has to be taken on both sides to align the situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can turn our attention in the remaining time to Malaysia and how much of a attractive business proposition it is to European investors. One of the chief challenges for European investors in coming to Malaysia, are there issues around taxation or policy changes that concern European companies when they think about setting up here or think about whether they should remain here or perhaps move to more friendly environments? Say, having said that, Malaysia ranks very highly in the ease of doing business rankings that they are globally.
Absolutely.
So what would be the challenges? So despite that, what would the challenges be? What are you hearing from your members in terms of how they would like to see the situation improve for them that will keep Malaysian as an attractive proposition?
Okay, let me bring up the issue that I briefly mentioned earlier on. So we recently contributed to a survey done at ASEAN level, okay? This survey had the objective of testing the business sentiment in ASEAN and in Malaysia, okay? So business sentiment from European investors and European companies. And it's not a surprise to see that 75% of the respondents expect to increase profit in ASEAN. 71% of the respondents say that ASEAN has become more important in terms of global revenue. So the share of revenue generated by ASEAN and Malaysia, it's growing in importance as opposed to the revenue that they're generating in all the countries where they're present, for example. 94% of the respondents plan to further invest or maintain same operations in ASEAN and Malaysia. 86% of the respondents expect intra-ASEAN trade and investment to increase in the next 5 years. So the sentiment of business investors, European business investors towards Malaysia, towards ASEAN, is positive, okay? Obviously, there are things that can be improved, okay? And this is why UMCCI, the European Malaysia Chamber of Commerce, has got this task of, creating dialogue platforms. For example, we engage with ministries. We recently, we have been talking with the Ministry of Finance in Malaysia for the last few months on the issue of withholding tax, not just us, but the other chambers of commerce, like the American Chamber of Commerce and other chambers of commerce. And we managed to put our message across, and we managed to get the government of Malaysia to understand that some of the legislation pertaining withholding tax had to be somehow reviewed, and this has happened. So these are the kind of things that we do, we engage in, and sometimes we win, sometimes we don't, sometimes there is a bit of waiting to do, but the sentiment is good. You know, Malaysia is a good foreign direct investment destination.
I mean, this might run counterintuitive to a lot of members of the Malaysia's chattering classes that look at the political headlines and are dismayed. They think, well, foreigners obviously were looking at Malaysia, will see the issues, the big headlines like 1MDB and issues of governance, the rise perhaps of religious conservatism, say, well, that's going to make us unattractive. But are they wrong? Are foreign investors not concerned, or are they concerned about those kinds of negative headlines?
I think foreign investors are concerned with business and business results. And business results are good. You know, take into account another important factor, that Malaysia is seen as a hub for, as an entry hub for ASEAN. Okay, so
is that just an aspiration, or is that reality?
It's happening. It's happening. You know, you have a lot of government agencies, Malaysian government agencies, selling Malaysia as an investment destination with the role, the function of hub for ASEAN. And this is happening. Why? Because Malaysia has got some very important peculiarities. Consider, for example, that English is widely spoken, okay? And you always have to compare this with neighboring countries, okay? You don't have to make a comparison with Britain, okay?
Or our past, for instance.
Well, okay, but, you know, still, English is widely spoken. The infrastructure is good. You know, you've got a good infrastructure network in terms of highway, in terms of ports and all the rest. Education level is okay. So, and the cost of labor, is relatively good compared with this benefit. So for these particular reasons, Malaysia has got a role to play as a hub, as an entry hub for ASEAN. And the ASEAN economy is extremely attractive, because you mentioned before, you know, the economy in Europe is a little bit sluggish. You know, companies need to identify places where there is growth. And here in ASEAN, there's going to be growth.
So in your dialogue with government, maybe we could focus on where there hasn't been enough progress, and something that the chamber is concerned about pushing, especially in the near to medium term. What is it that you are asking for that you feel is reasonable that you are not getting an adequate response to?
No, I think that we, in general, I would keep it general, and, we have monthly meetings with ministries, ministers, government officials. We call these meetings in conversation with, or VIP luncheons. Okay, we try to engage with them, and we try to get the business community to have a honest dialogue with politicians. Okay, so there are several issues. There are many issues that we want to tackle. Some of them are very operational. You know, talking about, for example, you know, medical devices, halal, talking about many, many different things. So I wouldn't concentrate on a specific issue. I just would concentrate on the task that we have in terms of bringing these small little issues to government officials. But these small little issues, I mean, don't get me wrong, if they get resolved, they make a hell of a difference. So this is why the work that we're doing is so important.
Have you given any input into the upcoming budget?
Not yet. I mean, we have a team led by our advocacy manager, and she's the person in charge. And we asked to provide on a yearly basis some input, and we're working on that. But
your wish list, your top three.
No. I wouldn't want to comment on that. And I already said that to your colleague, and please don't.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking to Roberto Benatello, CEO of the European Union Malaysia Chamber of Commerce and Industry. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Sharad Kutin, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.